see we have some young children here today. If you want to come up, we'll have a children's sermon. Come on up. You can come up. You can give me a high five too when you get up here. You want to sit down? Sure. They're coming. You don't want to come, huh? Okay. There you go. Hi, how are you? What's your name? You're not going to tell. My name is Irvin. You know what that is? Can you smell it? You can do a high five. There you go. You know, there was a little boy that went to a doctor, and the doctor put the stethoscope, you know, that thing you put in their ears, and then they listen to your heart and all that stuff. And they put it on they put the stethoscope in his ears, and then they put the sound up to his heart, and he heard this thump, thump, thump. What do you think he was hearing? What was he hearing? Toggy? His heart, yeah. Have you ever heard that? Can you put your ear up to somebody and you can hear their thumping of their heart? Sure you can. And as the doctor says, what are you hearing? And he looked, I mean, this is strange. So he says, I hear somebody knocking. Does that remind you of anything? Somebody wants to come in, they knock at the door, don't they? They go, knock, knock. Do you go and open the door then? Yeah, you go see who it is, don't you? But in your heart, in the inside of you, you can't open your chest and let your heart out, can you? So then the doctor says, who's knocking? And he looked and he thought, and then he smiled and he says, you know, in the Bible it says Jesus knocks at our heart's door, and I bet he wants to come in. Are we letting Jesus into our heart? We're going to talk about that a little bit today. And we want to talk about other things too. But we want to make sure Jesus is in our heart and in our life, because he is so important to us, and he can help us to grow up loving and serving him. And people will see his goodness in us. And through that, they'll glorify God, because we're living for the Lord day by day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd be with these little ones. Help them, Lord, to show your love and your kindness to all those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you can go back to your seat. Yes, I can still get down on my knees and get up again. You know, it's been always told us that if we want the adults to hear something, we should always have a children's sermon, because the adults listen to see if we're telling the truth or not, because if we aren't, they're going to catch us later, and we have to answer for that, don't we? Today is Reformation Sunday. It's also a time where we're only, 10 days away from election, so I want to talk a little bit about that also. And so I've kind of divided my message up a little bit on what we are going to be talking about. I would like to start out by reading Romans chapter 3, verse 28. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Romans 3:28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. These are thy words, Heavenly Father, sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. If we were to go into our regular text, we would see we're talking about taxes. Taxes to us is finances and money. And the government says you have to pay real estate tax, you have to pay this tax and that tax. And so we look at it as a business person, you would say that's coming off of my line of profit, and therefore do I have a bottom line in the red or in the black? And so we look at that from that portion of scripture. And we also see that they were trying to trick Jesus to make him say something that they thought they could get at him on so they wouldn't have to believe what he was saying. Yet we find that Jesus could not be fooled. He could see beyond what they were doing, and he has from the beginning proclaimed to be the Son of God, the Son of Man that came in the flesh. He came for one purpose and one purpose only, and that's to make sure our line is in the black because we have Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Then we find, too, that throughout the ages, the apostasy came in, and in that apostasy, we find the church went from what it was doing right to going bad and adding all kinds of things. Under the Jewish custom, they had about 300 different laws just to keep the Ten Commandments. And if you remember, or if you've heard the story of Martin Luther, he was one of the reformers, and one of the biggest ones that we have read about and know about. We find there were several reformers before him that was put to death, and that was boiled in oil and burned at the stake because of their belief in Jesus Christ, and that they proclaimed Christ crucified and Christ alone in order to be saved. And yet many of the leaders of the land of that day did not want to hear it. Also, we find in that day, back in the 1200, 1300 in there, if a queen was ruling England, the whole country would go to whatever religion that queen was at. And when somebody else took over, they would follow that one. And if it was Protestant or Catholic or whatever denomination, Luther was supposed to be studying to be a lawyer, and his dad wanted him to be a lawyer because in that day, and even maybe today, we find lawyers are one where you can get financial gain. So he was going back to school, and he had a thunderstorm and lightning and thundering, and for some reason God gave some extra thunderbolts to him. And he got scared, and he says, "Lord, if you help me get through this, I'll become a monk." And if it was something that was already in his heart that he felt he should do or not, they never have been told. But he kept his vow that he would become a monk. So he became a monk. And in that study, this verse here in Romans is one that he took very much to heart. And as he took that to heart, he had odds with the Church of Rome. And that Church of Rome at that time was a universal church, although there was starting to be splinters off of it because they had so much good works. And their works was what saved you, not the salvation of Jesus Christ. Not that Jesus had come into the world, that Jesus gave himself for you, that Jesus was crucified and he paid that penalty that only he could pay because we couldn't pay it. That he gave us his grace and his mercy and that God, through him, looks at us as we have him in faith in our heart and our life, we find then that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. We are then to go out in the world and show the world in how we live and what we believe, that they can see Jesus in us and that they will glorify our Lord Jesus Christ, not us. We find then too that Martin Luther had odds with the church, and he used this particular verse, and he says, you know, I am saved by faith, not of my works. The works will follow because I want to please my Lord and Savior. I want to please the God I serve. I want to please the Christ that was willing to die for me on the cross of Calvary. So therefore, I will do these works to please him, not to please myself. And the works will not get me into heaven, but it's my faith that I have in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary that saves me. It's that faith that drives me to do these works and to please my Lord and my Savior. And we find this so very strong. Luther then had many outs with the church. He pounded his 95 theses on the door of the Wittenberg Church. And this next year, they got many tours over there to show where he went through and some of the things he went through. When he was in the castle and the Germans had put him there to protect him from the people, because some of the people wanted to kill him and get rid of him. It was while he was in that castle, he wrote by hand the Bible in the German language that they could understand it and read it from Latin, from the Vulgate. And when he did that, he says, I want all my people to be able to read the word themselves and to study it, that the Holy Spirit can work a mighty work within them, and that they can see and understand scripture as well as a minister or a monk telling them what it says. So he had a lot of outs, and he was called to Rome. He was called to different places, and he wouldn't always go. And he had many, many meetings then with the hierarchy of the church. They were trying to make him recant. He says, if you can show me in scripture that what you're saying is true, I will recant. But because you can't, I will not recant, and my faith in Jesus Christ will stand. I will take and tell you, you must have faith and faith alone in order to be saved. In that faith, you accept what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. In that faith, you say Jesus came down from heaven. He was sent by God the Father, and he did all of these things. He was persecuted, and he was hung on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. And as he hung there, he says, it is finished. He finished that work. He finished that cost, that it cost him his life so that we could have life eternal and not worry about going into the torments of hell. He also pushed that God did it because he loved us. And in loving us, we should obey him and want to live for him day by day. Then if we were to go, we could go into Ephesians or Philippians. We read from Philippians chapter 3 about our citizenship in heaven. Remember, if we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we have our citizenship in heaven. If we even doubt for 1 minute that we don't have Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, God says, come to me and repent of any sin in your mind, that your mind can be know, that you can know within your mind you have Christ, and you know that Jesus is the one that saves you. You know that Jesus is the one that died for you on the cross. And we can see that so very, very plainly. And we see things in the world going on today. And Paul tells us to look not only on the things of the world that's going on, that's going to affect our life, but we should also remember this. He says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. In plain words, what Paul is saying is the same thing Luther said. Make sure your heart and your mind is on Jesus Christ. Make sure your heart and your mind is dwelling on what God has done for you. Don't let the things of the world get to you. Don't let the things of the world control you, because the world is passing away. And in its passing away, we find that it will be made new. And when it's made new, it'll be without sin. It'll be without all of the things we have today. No trouble, no sorrow, no tears, no pain. And how wonderful to keep our heart and our mind on that. I was listening to a message by a man, a minister, and I picked up a couple of little tidbits, and he was talking about the prayer chain. And most churches have a prayer chain, and they're normally good. If someone calls and they say, I want to be on your prayer chain because my husband or my wife broke her arm or his arm, or he needs an operation or so forth. So we pass that on. So-and-so called, and they're asking for prayer for healing, for not only security, but healing, and not only of the mind, but also of the part in our body that's broken or whatever has happened. But we find that most prayer chains end up to be gossip lines. And as they take and talk about these things, they're talking about everything except what they're to pray for. They want to know all of the details and all of these things that you don't need. Bring to God the problem and bring it to Him in prayer and in sincerity. And this is what we are supposed to do. We find, too, that God tells us to not think about the things of the world, but to think on the things of Christ and on heaven and eternity. And we find then that, as Paul tells us, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power unto salvation, as salvation of our heart and our soul. We have to make sure we're right. We come to Christ every day. We say, Lord Jesus, forgive us of our sins. Forgive me of the sins I have done, those that I know about, those that I don't know about. We can confess them unto Him, and He will forgive us. But He will also take and tell us, go and sin no more. So go forward, not trying to redo what you did if it's wrong, but to have Christ first and foremost in all that we do. We have an election coming up. And we find in that election that we have to keep our country in prayer. We have to keep our politicians in prayer. We have to keep ourselves in prayer, that we realize of what all is going on. And that as we do this, we find that we can take and pray to God. And I want to read a little bit out of Daniel, how he prayed to God for the sins of Israel. And we have to pray for the sins of our nation as well as our own, that God would not take and punish us because of our sin. And we know there are many, and we can go into many of them, and we're going to talk about them at different times, about such things that we could talk about that maybe we should have been talking about and haven't. But I would like to start reading at verse 4 in Daniel 9. It says, I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and to our princes, to our fathers and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face, as it is this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and all Israel, those near and those far off in the countries to which you have driven them because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you, O Lord. To the Lord our God belongs mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. You know, then I'm stopping right there for a minute, and we can look and we can see how Daniel prayed earnestly for the forgiveness of sin, for the sins of Israel. And we can pray the same way for the sins of our nation and for the sins of ourselves and our people, that we pray to God that we can go forward. And it tells us in Samuel says, you know, God wants obedience to his word and obedience to what he tells you to do more than he wants sacrifice. It's obedience to God and to what he has told you to do that you should be willing to do his will. And in Romans 4:16, it says, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those of faith, of the faith that Abraham had, the faith that we should have in Jesus Christ our Lord. As we have that faith and we claim we have faith in Christ and we trust in him above all things, we find that we should be willing to follow God at all times, that we would not think about the many things going on in the world so much as that we keep our hearts pure and holy before him, that we think about his goodness and his mercy, and that goodness and mercy, as we have it in our minds, would drive us to prayer, to pray for those who don't have Jesus Christ as their personal Lord, that we would not only pray for those, but as we pray for our nation, we would also pray for those running and those that will be in office after November 8th. And as we pray, we say, Lord God, help us to vote for the person you want in that office. Help us to vote for that person that'll help do your will, the one that will be able to do your will, even though they may not realize they're doing it, but that your will and your glory will be seen throughout the whole world. And through that glory, we can find that our sins can be forgiven because we come humbly before you, O Lord. Then as we went on, would go on in Daniel even, he says, yes, all of Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse of the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, has been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. And he has confirmed his words, which he spoke to us and against our judges who judged us by bringing upon us a great disaster. For under the whole heaven, such has never been done as what has been done in Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before you, Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquity and understand your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. And then it goes on, it says, O Lord, according to your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because of our sin and the iniquity of our fathers. Now, therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplication. For the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. And we find a lot of ministers who are preaching the word, and we find some that are preaching feel-good sermons, and yet we find that if we don't speak the truth, and if we don't speak it in its truth and in its entirety, we will be accountable, and we will have to answer for that. We must be willing to stand up, regardless of the cost, to proclaim Jesus as our Lord, proclaim Jesus as the one that came on Calvary's cross, proclaim to this nation that we have to turn back to Christ, and that we have to seek forgiveness for our sins. And as we seek that forgiveness for our sins, we would ask his mercy and his grace upon us, that he would help us to do his will, and that he would keep us in his care all of the days of our life, that we would not only do his will, but we're willing to obey, and we're willing to do it. I've given you before the adage of the trees that wanted a king. We are to call upon God, and in Proverbs it tells us, it says, when the righteous is in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked person takes in authority, then they groan because they're under such terrible livelihood and so many things happening against God and against the Christ that has saved us and has come into the world to die for us. So we see God says, I would rather have obedience than sacrifice. We see that God says that we want a righteous person in running our country, our not only our country, but our courts, our Congress, all of our leadership. We should remember them in prayer. And that as we go out and we obey God rather than man, as a Christian, we find that many times we're going to have to stand up and we may be ridiculed and we'll be made fun of because we are obeying God rather than man. Because if man's law goes against what God says, we are to obey the Lord God himself. The time, I believe, is coming when they will find anything wrong with you if you're a Christian. And it'll be that you would be either jailed or killed or tormented in some way, persecuted. And even in this country, as great as we've had it, and we've maybe had it greater than most countries in the world, but yet we find that even the greatness of this country can go downhill if we don't have Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We have to keep our country in prayer. We have to keep our leaders in prayer, and we have to keep ourselves in prayer that we are right with the Lord, that we don't get pride, but that we stay humble before God and before all that he wants us to do. In 2 Thessalonians 1:18, Paul puts it like this, in the flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those people who reject Christ will find that in eternity, they're going to spend eternity in hell. And we don't want anybody there. We shouldn't want anybody there. So we have to make sure we realize that even if we see hard things coming on people that we may not have the highest thoughts of, we still want their soul to be saved. We have to pray for their soul, that their soul would be right with God, and that they wouldn't think about the things so much on the earthly thing of what they can accumulate, but that their heart and their soul would be given to Jesus Christ, that he would be have first place in their heart, and they too can be in heaven with us. And we will not be in heaven if we think we're so much better than anybody else, because our pride would keep us from entering heaven. We are to remain humble before God. We are to remain in such a way that God himself can work a mighty way in us and use us to glorify him, that people sees him in us and glorifies him, because he is the one that did all the work. He's the one that saved us. He's the one that took us when we were dead in sin and made us alive, giving us a new mind, a new heart, and a citizenship in heaven. Let us be thankful for that. Let us not be self-seeking, but seek the will of God in our lives, that our lives will show his glory in all that we say or do. Heavenly Father, I pray you would be with us. Help us, O God, that we will obey you, that we will do your will, that we will think on the goodness of your grace, and that as we think on that goodness, O God, you would continue blessing us and helping us to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 292.